Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul of faith. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure the pilot washed his hands.
Thanks for hanging out with us, boys and girls. You are listening to The Hardline. I'm 590 The Fan, KFNS, and 590TheFan.com. TJ Mo, Bob Ramsey, John Hadley outside smoking a dart. That's what John does. Matt Rocky will run the board for us as well. So we talked quite a bit of Mizzou basketball the first part of this hour. And that was a little bit because that was happy. We like talking about happy things. That's why we avoided
happy
Missouri
talk.
Basketball for the first. We didn't talk too much Missouri basketball to start the year. It's because that wasn't that happy. It was not that happy when SLU went down to play against Florida State. Florida State 11-1. They are a fringe top 10 team in the country, and they couldn't miss.
They played like it. And here's what we learned from the game: 81-59. Here's what we learned. St. Louis University is not a top 10 team. And you lost at Houston. You're not a top 25 team. That's what we've learned. In the non-conference schedule, 8-4 right now, and you have Appalachian State coming in on Sunday at 2 o'clock. So what are we? I think we're for sure what the metrics tell us at this point. Still a little early to really rely on them. Top 100 team. That's good. That's good. Out of 352 or three, whatever it is this year. So that's good. But it's not NCAA tournament good yet. And so they've got a lot of work to do. You're undefeated against the Big East, and you're 0-2 against the ACC. Yeah. That's the other thing we've learned, that the Big East isn't the ACC. So we've learned those things. Not really huge revelations, but we've sort of solidified what we probably already knew. So they've got a lot of work to do. There's not very much positive to come out of that loss. Your defense was not good enough. It's really weird. In a game where you hit your free throws and you out-rebound a really big team based on, 2 months of games, you think, if you give me those two numbers, hit the free throws and out-rebound a team that's bigger than you, hey, we're in pretty good shape. No. They out-defended you by a lot and outshot by a lot. They had some big games by guys who don't normally score that well. They exploited what you did defensively, and you absolutely tip your cap to Leonard Hamilton's group. He's been doing it a long time. He's got big-time numbers. They come at you in waves, and it's really, really good. So two things. Well, rebounding, they always do pretty well, but that didn't help. Free throw shooting, they never do very well, and you did well at it, and that didn't help. But this team's got to defend to win, and they didn't. And quite frankly, Florida State's way better. Score proved it. They earned it. I mean, there's not really much more you can say about it. So is there any good things you can take away? One is I think you rebounded very well. And the other thing is Cartier Gordon played really well, really well. He ended with 14 points. Seven rebounds. What was really great, though, he was 5-for-9 from the field, and he took their 7-4 center out of the game. Leonard Hamilton took him out of the game specifically because he couldn't stop Cartier Gordon. Now, the other guys came in and held him down pretty good. He only got 9 shots. So they kept the ball away from Cartier. But for him to make mincemeat out of a 7-4 legitimate player who will be in the league, I thought was pretty impressive. His quickness to go along with his power was really good. And what's great is when you can see how one guy can impact what the other team is doing specifically, forcing them to make a personnel change.
I didn't get to watch that game. I didn't see a block on the stat line. Is that more was that another one of those weak side ones?
What do you mean?
For Cartier Gordon?
That's
the biggest thing. Every time I'm watching him out there on the defensive end,
I think it was a help block.
Was it?
I'm
almost watching him more on the defensive end than the offensive end because I'm just waiting for every time he's on the weak side and he comes across because he's got a great feel for that.
Yeah.
You don't see that usually in freshmen. He's got that little tick where he just kind of he notices when a guy's got a free run, and he's over there every time. I love that.
So there's a freshman playing 32 minutes. We said, you know, what about the minutes? So let's talk. So that was the only other really good thing to come out of it is the Billikens did pressure a little bit late, and it worked again. Forced turnovers.
Yeah, you won the turnover battle.
Made their good guards get frustrated. You say, well, why don't you do it the whole game? Well, Florida State can do that because he's playing a dozen guys. You've got seven. Maybe eight. And you can't, you just, at that level, you can't do that for very long stretches. So that is the conundrum that Travis Ford faces, is when to do that. Because when he puts Jordan Goodwin and Fred Thatch out top to harass and mug guys as if they're in a back alley somewhere and take their lunch money away, it's really fun to watch. But you just can't do that for very long when you can't sub in for those guys. So the health of Deion Wiley, and then secondarily, and this is just me talking, I haven't heard any of the coaches talk about it, but Yngwie Gudmundsson, to give you more minutes to give guys rest without having a drop off. The problem now is because of injury and health, they haven't been able. There's too much of a drop off.
Mm-hmm.
When you go deep into your bench, we've got to pull those guys up, get them ready, and I think these days leading into the Appalachian State game, and then getting into conference play. So the next 10 days will be really, really important to see if Travis feels like he can get more out of those guys as we get into conference play. So in a game that has, you know, a dozen different categories and aspects, there are only two that were good. The rest, quite frankly, not good enough. And Florida State proved, you know, you guys play hard, but you're not a top 10 team. Take this with you on your way back to St. Louis. And that was an unpleasant Christmas present.
Florida State shot obviously very well, 50-plus percent from the I think it was 54-55% for the three-point line. But they had 20 turnovers. It was a fairly sloppy game. 38 total turnovers between the two.
Because both teams got after it defensively.
Right.
Well, the Billikens' effort was there, but the execution wasn't.
Right. And when you're not hitting shots, then it looks extra sloppy because you're always chasing your own rebounds.
Yeah.
I will say this. These are the minutes played by Javon Bess over the last six games. 38, 39, 38. 38, 37, 36. Kids' legs are going to fall off if you don't start dialing that back a little bit.
We'll let him do that wherever he's playing professionally. We'll worry about that then.
It's tough if you're not giving it to him early. And I don't know that this – I mean, obviously, as we're talking about with the seven-man team here, you can't afford to do that because all these games are going to matter if you're going to be a tournament team.
That's right.
But this is something to keep an eye on for – I mean, this is we're watching it with LeBron right now. Obviously, with LeBron on a different scale, everything. He's played the most minutes, the most everything.
Relatively, yeah.
But, right, it's like, it's a whole thing. Like, eventually, you get a certain amount of miles on your car, on your legs, stuff starts to break. And if it's all in one season, the earlier you do it, the quicker that happens.
That's why, and that ties into what I was just saying as well about depth. Along with the two I mentioned, Wiley in particular, Gudmundsson, who, he's a kid that, it's probably too much to ask much of him this year. He played internationally all summer instead of coming in early and getting in the weight room and doing all those things. Physically, he's probably not there yet, so that might be too much to ask, but he can really shoot it. But Casey Hankton, who's another freshman. So with Wiley, who's a grad transfer, and Hankton, if you can get more minutes out of them, And if Javon can go from 38 minutes to even 32 or 33,
absolutely,
I think you're right. You don't want him worn out when you're going to need him most in March.
Right, and 38 minutes a night will do. People don't understand how much 3 minutes will do for you. I mean, three minutes over 35 games, good luck.
You're absolutely right. So finding a way to get more off the bench for SLU will be really, really big moving forward. And I think you're absolutely right. I would agree 100%. The guy should have been Deion Wiley.
Right.
Not only does he help with minutes, but also because he gives you a different look offensively. And so we just got to get the kid healthy.
Even if Fred Thatch could take up that extra 3 minutes. Fred Thatch played 24 minutes on Saturday. You know, Isabel played 29. Goodwin is always playing up in the high 30s. You may have to move things around, but it's only 3 minutes. So I don't know if this is just a strategy thing for Travis Ford. I know with basketball, way more than any other sport, when one guy's not out there, you could tell a whole world of a difference. That's
right.
That's why plus minus actually matters so much more in basketball than everybody always cites it in hockey. Plus minus matters so much more in basketball. It tells a huge story. LeBron, when he's off the court, here's what it is. When he's off the court, here's what it is. Plus minus in basketball, because you're there are legit two-way players that are the offense, tells a story. So I get it. That's why Bess has to be out there the way he is. But if you can get creative and just distribute 1 minute for three different guys, you know, 2 minutes. Get him down 32 to 35 minutes. You're going to be in a lot better shape come A-10 tournament time.
And we'll see if that starts taking shape even as soon as Saturday against Appalachian State, who is no joke, by the way. Yeah. That is no joke. So that'll be a hard game, 2 o'clock. And then you get into conference play. And fortunately, you get a couple of home games to start conference play, and that'll be nice against two solid teams in UMass and Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. So if those Northeast boys come in here and you can take care of your business, it'll be interesting to see that both those teams have some nice talent. I mean, it's hard. The league's going to be hard. Winning's hard. And
So we'll
see how it goes. You know, and then there's some other guys that were a little disappointed against Florida State. Hassan French couldn't get his game together. He's a critical guy that really hasn't gotten off to the start that he wanted. And so maybe now being back home, you know, a few days off for Christmas, get back home, get back in the gym. It's basketball 100% of the time for 3 more weeks until school starts again. And maybe that's where the pieces all start to come together.
The good news is this. Nobody has ever lost their season after game 12. So, play a rough one, who cares? And that's kind of the beauty of basketball, too. Like, we talk about this in football all the time. If you lose one, you may be out. Truly. There is no, I mean, that's it. If Georgia lost the one before Alabama, so they were done. And that's the whole thing. Now the basketball, you can get blown out by 30. Who cares? Let's go the next day and see what happens.
Right. That's exactly right.
So you're in a pretty good position there that I think with a group of guys that you hope can expand. Eight in today's game, you can deal with 8. It is really hard to play with 7.
It really is. Especially if you find that you play your best by extending and pressuring defensively. Yeah. And that's the best way you play. But you got to have the manpower to do it, so it's a little frustrating.
That's right. Hey, go vote for the Schnucks High School Athlete of the Week on 590thefan.com. Check out our guys. Schnucks, one of our fine sponsors here on this station. We have Charlie Marlowe and Martin Kilcoyne go out to do remotes over there, and a lot of good stuff. So, Schnucks High School Athlete of the Week, go vote. Go check it out. A lot of good athletes coming out of St. Louis, one of which we were just talking about, Cartier Gordon. I imagine he was our Schnucks High School Athlete of the Week on more than one occasion. Also, the Kirkwood Brewhouse that we frequent is right next door. Go check it out. They have the greatest candy bacon in the history of the planet, I can tell you firsthand. I've never even had candy bacon anywhere else, and I can still tell you that. Also, there's something that Rammer and I are hooked on that is called the gumbo.
If we wouldn't have had so many leftovers at home from the last couple of days of people coming over and cooking food. Mm-hmm. In fact, I even debated anyway. And I said, all right, I'll wait a day before I go back to the gumbo.
I walked in and ran out of time, so I had to come out before I got it today. But I would have had it sitting right here with me. And that is
the go-to.
That is really good stuff, along with the salmon. And apparently 27 craft beers. Now, I know you're not drinking right now. I don't drink. But our friend Rock, he does some drinking, and so the 27 craft beers, apparently. Big deal over there. So, John Hadley, back just in time for the break.
Perfect timing.
In a bit, it's the Hardline.